Good morning.
Good morning.
So, to continue on the subject of the birth pangs of the Mashiach, so the major difference between the Mashal and the Nimshal, the world events, and birth pangs in normal situation is that we know one of the aspects which has in common is that the nearer you come to the actual birth, the more severe is the pain. That aspect of the parable is correct. But there's another aspect, which is the suddenness, which is emphasized here in this passage from Rav Dessler. He's speaking about the concept which seems to be an aspect to some extent of the passage of time. That it says also in the prophets, and certainly in the discussion of the sages, that things can happen which are very unexpected, very suddenly. New discoveries come, and we can say it seems that the pace of life, the more the civilization progresses, becomes more and more swift, just like communication becomes swift, traveling becomes swift. You never know what change that's going to take place the next day, from one day to the next. So we had, especially in the overall development of international relationships of mankind. For example, I'll give you an example. It's also very surprising. I mean, for 70 years, there was an iron rule of communism in the Soviet Union. And I was able to visit when it was still under, very much under communism, almost, I think, the year before it all broke down, all of a sudden, like a pack of cards. I mean, if you go back when the revolution started, it was a procedure. But when the communist revolution ended, a few weeks before, people were still being imprisoned for all sorts of, when I spent a week in Moscow with the underground movement of Teshuvah. And on that Shabbat, I think I don't know what his position is today, but he was became minister here in Israel of absorption. Now he's got some other position, Yudi Edelstein. Well, he was amongst the underground Hebrew teachers. And so on that Shabbat when I was there, they put him in prison on the false charge that he deals in drugs, which is based upon the finding of the Pesomim. The KGB came to his apartment and said, "What are these? These smelling spices, what are they? They're drugs." And they went and put him in prison with the charge this is a drug trafficker. And he was in prison for a few years. But then, a couple of years afterwards, it was surely opposite, it all fell down, sudden. And it all got to do also, it says in the same, Mechemet Gog and Magog, so there's a tradition, the last war, the last world war, which centers upon people battling against Jerusalem, around Jerusalem, mention all the prophets, it can be a war that will only take 10 minutes. Well, we know what that means. It's a serious threat. So the writing from the depths of the people of Israel who were walking in the valley of shadow of death in Auschwitz. So it's one of the things that Rav Dessler says, that, okay, Germany's taking over one place after the other, and it's terrible what they're trying to do, and civilization. But he says it can happen the other way as well. Very suddenly, there'll be the Mashiach. After Agamura. They said, those of you who are following inside, you can also learn some Hebrew, please. You want to help yourselves. At the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Chet, so it continues this. There's something else. The second point. The last paragraph on Kuf Lamed Chet. Ma'od baru eich kore shekol ha'olam abed hakarat ha'behira. There's another clear matter which is happening. The whole world is stopping to lose, it's beginning to lose the clear recognition. V'chulam lo hivchinu kol kach habe shanim marotzonu shel rasha. What happened? How did this maniac, who is now trying to conquer the world, how did he reach his high position? So what happened to the world? Why did they, all the nations, they had Olympic Games just before, I think when Hitler was already in power, and they all joined in, fine. They all said, well, you know, he even said and threatened, but they didn't take them seriously. They said, what's he going to do? You know, he just wants to rebuild Germany after their defeat in the previous World War. And they didn't recognize it. And even England, you know, where there was someone who recognized it, Churchill. And Churchill, because he believed also, you see from his history of the wars, he believed that God runs the world. But Chamberlain came in 1938. I don't know whether it was before Kristallnacht or after Kristallnacht. Maybe somebody here knows.
I think it was right after.
Right after.
I could be wrong.
I think it was after, yeah. So he came back, you know, Chamberlain's famous umbrella. Peace in our time. He made a deal with Hitler. When he was already clearly starting to fulfill his aims, I thought it was Czechoslovakia or something. So, they said, Am echad lo lamad migoralo shel zulato. One, the nations were so blind. One didn't, and even when the war started, Britain was alone. And that I still remember clearly, you know. We all had evacuated, and we listened. In fact, what I did, it was only youngster at the time, but I had in my room, I had a big map of the world, especially of Europe, and I followed the defeats and the victories. I listened to Churchill's inspiring talks, even in time of great trouble. You know, it's a fantastic speech of Churchill,
yes.
In the middle of the Blitz, where he writes, we have to take courage from the example of the Maccabeans. And he quotes from the book of the Maccabeans, because it was the time, not Hanukkah, it was the winter. So it was a time when England was at its lowest point. I don't know if it was Dunkirk before or after, but I remember his speech afterwards, so recorded as well. So he said, he quotes that Yehuda Maccabi said, even if all our people, everybody, they go and follow the ways of the Greco-Hellenists who were persecuting the Jewish people and destroying, trying to destroy our temple, everything, yet will I and my family and those who want to join me, we will remain loyal to our land and to our heritage, and we will battle against these forces of evil. He spoke there about, he said, If they wouldn't, he said this, then he said, if they wouldn't have stood up against the powers of evil and persecution and idolatry and corruption at that time, then we would not have had the development of the biblical civilizations, even the Muslims, even the true Muslims and the true Christians, would not have become a power amongst human beings, and all moral principles of civilization would have become lost. So let us follow their example. It says, even if all the other nations don't join in, yet here in England, you know, we'll work against the forces of darkness. So, but most nations, they just let him go ahead. Then gradually, before they started joining, it took a long time. He said, until yesterday, it's been such a time, there was still a pact between the Soviet Union with Hitler. They made a pact. Until in the end, Hitler decided to attack the Russians. And of course, then the Russians responded. And in the end, they got stuck in the winter in Russia. Especially when Hitler made the mistake of transferring his major strong army under Rommel from the Eastern Front with Russia, and he got them to go through North Africa all the way to Sinai to go and make sure to fulfill his arrangement with the Mufti of Jerusalem to kill all the Jews in Palestine, where there was a death camps waiting. And then there was a miracle, you know. They had to retreat. Yep. Montgomery managed to cause the German army to retreat. And well, no, there was a miracle because they were caught in the desert. The whole army was caught with dysentery because they went and drank salt waters. Because through the pipes that were to use drinking waters, there was some technical break of something, and the pipes, instead of passing on drinking water, they passed on seawater. They all got sick, so that was a weak moment. At the same time, in Palestine, the arrangement was made, 3 days fasting, 3 days prayer, and also many synagogues all over the world, they prayed. The Jews of Palestine should not become destroyed by Hitler. So he says, how can leaders of nations be so short-sighted? But if in heaven it's decreed that we're going to have troubles from the Satan, then the intelligence comes too late. And the intelligence, this came too late for the Jews also. Even the Jewish leaders didn't recognize the danger so much. When it came to, as we described yesterday, when it came to the death camps, can't we even here see the strong hand from heaven? That means all the nations of the world, they are under the influence of the deceit that he doesn't have such evil intentions. They went around like people who were drunk until they came out from their drunken state too late. They'll say this in Hebrew, it's the beginning of the next page, Kuf Lametet. Kasher igzami shamayim lizbol tzarot me'asatan, magia haseichel muchad midai. When Hashem makes such a decree, the intelligence comes late. So we see the strong hand from heaven. All the nations nearly were under this illusion that they're not going to be troubled from. I mean, they said, okay, some nations didn't favor Jews so much, even though they weren't anti-Semites. They said, well, you know, the Jews, some of them, they have a claim against us. But still, you know, we don't have to follow this. We've got to follow our own interests. And we'll keep our own interests. So here we see, Anulomdim, Kashem Enu Hotse, when Hashem wants something to happen in a certain way, or not to happen, all wise people become foolish. Vein Matzol, a tipshut v'kotzeria. There's no limit to the folly and the short-sightedness. So, I think this is a message, what's happening today. I mean, how can you understand that Europe, the European leaders, who did go through, and some of them do remember what happened 70, 80 years ago, what happened pre-Hitler period, and now comes along Obama, and the Europeans are also going in the same direction, and they say, oh, we can make a deal. A deal with Iran. When it's clear, it's crystal clear, Iran will not permit any type of inspection over their major nuclear weapon preparation. Don't allow it. And they're making a deal with them. And Iran, Iran is a big power in the United Nations. So the United Nations now came out with a declaration. United Nations, think of that. Of course, mainly supported by people who work with Iran in some way or another. It's noted that Hamas is going to have advisory status for the United Nations. And they've got a majority somehow. I mean, they're blind. What they want, Iran is surely as dangerous as Daesh. Yep, please sit down. So, this is the same thing happening today. So there's no. So he says, surely everything is in the hands of Hashem. Hashem is in charge. Because how is it there's so many? It's quite true. If our leaders would have been guided by the Gedolei Torah, even if you look at it, what actually has happened, it could have turned out differently. Why do I say this? Because it's happened before. In the time of Begin, there was also a very big danger of real nuclear reactors already working to some extent in Iraq. And Begin thought, we have to go and remove this while it's still in the bud. Works quickly. And you know, he consulted with the greatest Rabbanim before he did anything. So, he had more of a tradition of observance, you know. When he was in hiding, the time of the war in Israel, you know, he served as a shamus in a shul. So he had a background. And I had the privilege to have a talk with him as well, one more personal talk, one time. And he very much encouraged the Torah world. Bought tefillin every day and quoted Pesukim non-stop. And it's very, very famous. This is his meeting with the President of America and also the President of Egypt, where they were signing a pact. And I heard this from the person, a friend of mine from England, who was the advisor to Begin, Yehuda Avner, that's all, the advisor to Begin. And he said like this, when the President of America said to him, you've got to accept our decision to give back this, to give back that, give back, but to give in to the Egyptian demands. So he said, you have to do, you've got no choice. So what did Begin do? He started humming a tune. Nine, 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 nine. And then he said, then he hummed the tune, and then he said the words, Ani ma'amin, Ani ma'amin, be'emuna shelemo, v'yat Mashiach. Then translated into English. So he said, Listen, we believe, just like this is the song that the Jews sang in Auschwitz. And they said, and all the underground and the partisans constantly said, whatever will happen, we believe that Hashem from above will in the end redeem us. And therefore, we're not giving in. We're not giving back in a manner that will give our enemies the ability to conquer this land. No, not doing it. That was begging. So I said, as I said to Elisha, I was close to him, he close to the Prime Minister, he wants to give this talk, postpone it. If he would have postponed it after the elections, then Obama would not have had such an excuse to castigate the Prime Minister of Israel. Because it was arranged, he was supposed to speak to the Congress, so he'll speak a few weeks later. Why go and bring Israeli politics and go and use the American platform to try and get more popular support to be elected as Prime Minister? Which was even doubtful if it really brought him more support. If we'd done it later, they would have more support. So, but that's how things happen in Israel. So now we're in a situation that the short-sightedness of Obama, he thinks, it's quite clear, Iran, they hate America. You say it as well. They want to be those who will replace America as the world power. No question. That's what they want to do. And they do everything to achieve it. So, all right. They see, everyone sees Daesh is a terrible pervert power, but it's becoming also enormous power. People like Daesh is clearly a power even within Hamas, so in Syria, other places. So it's growing in Iraq, it's complete short-sightedness what we see today as well. So when Hashem wants, it says here, kach yeh. This is what happens. Hashem yirtze, yirei kol olam et emet ha-tzurufa va-tzedek ha-pi'e. This is all a preparation. When Hashem wants, then the whole world will see the pure truth and the clear righteousness. V'chulam yikablu et ha-kara brura. K'Hashem echad u'shmucha. Then they will all recognize with all clarity that Hashem is one, His name is one. And all these were tests that we have to go through. So also, if he could say that at that time, I think we can certainly say it today. Whatever threats there are, we have to keep our clear vision and know that what happens from above is not in our hands. What we do from below in choosing to pursue peace and pursue saintliness, we have to work very hard, because this can bring the redemption swiftly. And like a pack of cards, like it's happened before, all these powerful not nations and groups will all collapse and the truth will come forward. So you have any questions?
I have a question about yesterday.
Yes, please.
You were talking basically about the Mashiach comes, it's going to be like birth. And that even you're saying it's written here that he said, I don't even want to think about Mashiach because it's going to be so painful. But you also made a reference to like now that everyone's connected to their like little machines where they're constantly getting news updates and seeing all these negative things. Could this be sort of like the contraction pains? Like, I mean, like, it's like slowly we're getting used to like all of these bad things happening over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That it's sort of like, you know, it's, I mean, the birth comes suddenly, but leading up to the birth comes very slowly. You know, you have the water breaking, and then you have the contractions, and then the contractions are slower and slower and slower. So it's like you're saying, like that society has all this new technology, like year after year, not even year after year, like even months, and then it comes every week we're getting new technology coming.
Yeah.
That we're being bombarded for it, but it's almost like we're being eased into it, sort of in a very violent way of world destruction, sort of. I mean, like slowly we're seeing it now, like starting in the Middle East, but then like Daesh is saying that we want to take over America, and we have our eyes on Jerusalem, and that slowly like this disease is spreading. That, you know, like they're arresting agents in Australia and Malaysia, and even now in Gaza, you know, they're claiming responsibility for these missiles. Do you think that this is sort of like, it's almost like that Hashem's plan is, first of all, that we have to like really like get used to like these pains, like not necessarily slowly, but in sort of a way that that people will be able to see that this is happening towards like just until the very end. And so we realize that, okay, all of a sudden it's coming. Even today you said like the war around Jerusalem is only going to take 10 minutes, which is obviously a horrible combination to think about. But
look, we don't. These are lo machshavotai machshavotichem. We don't really know exactly what Hashem has in mind and how it will all happen, but we do have clear statement of the prophets that the change could come suddenly. We should. We have got it. The people says we have to preserve our equanimity, preserve our faith in Hashem. As I said, we have to cope and pray for the highest level, as it's described in all our prayers. And the change can come. What we do know is on such circumstances we have to work hard on ourselves. I'll give you an illustration of this from a law in the Chumash. In Sefer Devarim, it speaks a lot about how we have to deal with enemies in warfare. Because halakha, as we mentioned yesterday, follows reality, natural reality. Ve'ein somchen al hanes. You can't rely on miracles, but we hope for. We say even modim anachula kol niflotecha v'nisecha shebchol yom. We should learn to see miracles in everything, in the good things that happen. So there's, in the middle of all the laws of warfare, and in warfare there's some is mass destruction, many people get killed, even in ancient warfare also. You see that in the wars that took place, sometimes thousands, even tens of them got killed. So it says in the middle that what happens if you find a dead man and you don't know who killed him. And then it says the elders have to go out and they've got to bring an offering and they've got to say, please forgive your people Israel, because we don't know who killed him, therefore we can't bring anyone to court to give them justice and a correct sentence. And then it says at the end, it says, you should do that which is upright in the eyes of Hashem, and thereby you will remove innocent blood from your midst. What? First of all, today you see so many accidents, so many careless drivers, so many terrorists all over, so many suicide bombers. You see it daily in the mass media, and you become used to it, so life becomes cheap. Similarly also, this is what, when life becomes cheap, you should still fulfill all the laws of trying to save lives. And also, that the courts of justice, the leaders of the people, have to be concerned about every innocent person who was harmed and who was killed, even was killed by mistake. It's a responsibility, that's the purpose of the Chachamim, the Kohanim, to as we said at the beginning of the week, to spread peace, which means to be concerned about every person. And that's how we have to behave. In other words, we shouldn't say, a person who drives a car, and he sees so many, this is the case of Rotzeach, mentioned the Chumash, also you have to have atonement and so on, go to Galut, it's called the Rotzeach. You regularly drive, and you see many accidents, many people being killed. Don't say, well, okay, so someone's been killed, I don't care. No, you have to care even more. You are reading the Chumash, and you do, that means you believe in Hashem, and Hashem has given you these commandments. You have to be concerned, Lord, tamod al dam re'echa. Don't stand still. If you see somebody else in danger, you've got to help him. And you start with your own around. If you're a person who's got responsibility for the family, for the neighborhood, you don't have further power of any nature, so concern yourself with the neighborhood. If, however, you're a leader, we've got responsibility for society. You have to change society. You have to work hard. Go and help the organizations against traffic accidents. Go and help the organization of the eight. They said every year, 8,000 people, that's all this last few years, 8,000 people died from smoking. So take some responsibility. Try and persuade all these youngsters upstairs. If anybody can persuade them. When I'm in a car, and I have a special sensitivity to smoke. And I've always tried to run away from it. So when I'm in a car, driver says, can I take a smoke? I say, no, I think your life is very valuable. And every cigarette shortens your life by a few minutes. So therefore, ask all the doctors. Therefore, please don't smoke. And also, it serves me as well, if you don't care about it. But I'm concerned for your life also. Try and dissuade them. Yeah, because if any of you, and peer, you know, shouldn't think that, or your own youngsters, doesn't matter. Youngsters who, Baruch Hashem, in the yeshiva, I don't know if there's anybody who's a smoker. If there are, we have to work on him. If I just saw today that Maccabi, especially Maccabi Kupat Cholim, they give a very advanced program for anyone who wants to get rid of smoking. And I'm not saying that the order of Anim against it as well. It doesn't mean to say that if there's a person who's in a very nervous state, there are some exceptions, but a very nervous state, nothing else can satisfy because it's in the mind-body relationship. So some people have an addiction to it already, and to get rid of it might create for them a nervous breakdown. So you've got to know how to do it in a gradual way. But I'm just saying, we all of us have a responsibility, whatever we can do to save lives. And we shouldn't be influenced by the barrage of constant deaths and constant woundings, the obscenity of murders which we see on the mass media. We've got to work against it. That's why to use the mass media, the internet and other things for entertainment is a very risky affair, because the news items, if they're too filled with obscenities, especially, I suppose, people want to keep away from pornography. That's understood. If a person wants to keep his emotions under some form of control, then it's very bad if he goes in pornography, which in some of the mass media. But even those mass media keep away from it, but they're filled with so many murderous accounts. Different situations, how one person tries to steal from the other, or one person tries to kill another. It has an impact upon a person's inner ability to harmonize his conflicting emotions. So therefore we have to work hard. All the tools of modern science could all be used for the good. They can be used, but transformed. Not as if you can spread Torah on the internet far and wide, as is done by some organizations, it uproot and others. It's very used for good. But like everything in life, it's always been like that. The materialistic tools that we use can be used for construction or for destruction. And we have to learn to use them only for constructive building up of morals in the family and in society and in the world. Thank you very much.